We'll begin to read verse number 32. I've been wanting to preach on this subject for a good long while, and seemed as though I got the nod along about Thursday, Friday, move in this direction. And I'll be preaching tonight as well from about this character, Judah. Judah is one of the most prominent of the 12 sons of Jacob. Judah. Genesis 29:32, and Leah, this is the wife, first wife of Jacob, conceived and bare a son. She called his name Reuben, for she said, "Surely the Lord has looked upon my affliction. Now therefore my husband will love me." She conceived again and bare a son, and said, "Because the Lord has heard that I was hated, he has therefore given me this son also." And she called his name Simeon. She conceived again and bare a son, and said, "Now this time will my husband be joined unto me, because I have borne him 3 sons. Therefore was his name called Levi. She conceived again, 4th time, bare a son. She said, "Now will I praise the Lord." Therefore she called his name Judah. By a set of heartbreaking and embarrassing coincidence, Leah was chosen to be the wife of Jacob. She took the second place, spent her entire life living second fiddle to another woman. Right away, we're going to see some qualities in this woman. She's not your run-of-the-mill, everyday kind of a woman that could do that. Although she was joined legally and physically to the patriarch Jacob, she knew that there was no real spiritual union here. There was no emotion in that marriage, no affection, nothing that you would expect a marriage to have, none at all, between Jacob and that tender-eyed mother of his children. How many marriages are in this condition today would be anybody's guess. People living together for convenience. It is estimated that if suddenly the assemblies of God would change the rules and allow their ministers to be divorced, that there would be a wholesale separation between ministers and their wives, because some homes are war zones. Some homes, they may have reached middle ground to where they can live in some kind of peace. But like the marriage of Jacob and Leah, there is really no love nor emotion that passes between them. But I'll tell you a situation that is even worse than that. There are people that have allowed their relationship with the Lord to become mechanical and cold and unfeeling, and there is no devotion, no expression of praise, no expression of worship. They just go through the motion. It is a marriage of convenience because they don't want to go to hell. They're just going through the motion. But the joy of the whole thing is long since gone. I hope you're not in that condition. You know what I'm praying? Lord, give me the joy that really goes with my salvation. Hallelujah. Give me the joy that goes with this salvation. Now, the scripture indicates that Leah desired a spiritual union with her husband. One can almost hear the anguish in her voice as she says, "Now, therefore, my husband will love me. I have given him a son. Now he will love me." We need to understand that in those ancient times, a woman that had no children was to be ashamed. You know that's tragic. They didn't have a better understanding. Might have been the old man's fault. But they didn't have a very good understanding, and always the woman bore the blame and the shame and the stigma of being barren and childless. She could give a man a dozen girls, but if she didn't give him a boy, he didn't feel like he was blessed. And if you know biology, you know the old man, he gets the credit for that, you see. Girl or boy, that is decided by the husband. Genesis 29:34, now this time will my husband be joined unto me, because I have borne him three sons. Can you hear the anguish? Oh, Jacob, I just wish you had loved me. I've proven myself faithful. Look what I've done. I blessed you. I've borne your children. I just hope that you will love me. I hope that now you will come to be joined to me. The word join, a little study there, revealed. It meant becoming attached by a loving affection. A loving affection. Well, there's a blank page in there. How many thinks I could preach from that? You say you're already doing it? Okay. Let me move on to number two here. All right. The name that Leah gave her sons is graphic here and would do our considering today. It indicates the name she gave her son, the struggles that she had through the years of feeling unloved and feeling unaccepted as the wife that she really was. Let's look at the first son, Reuben. She called his name Reuben because she said, look, behold, a baby boy, a son, as if to say to Jacob, look, Jacob, I'm important. I gave you a son. The second boy's name was Simeon. It means God hears. She was expressing a profound faith that God, in His own good time, hears and answers prayer. God answers prayer out of some very heartbreaking situation that you know and I know that can come to a human life. She said, we'll call his name God hears. God answers prayer. She was saying to her husband, see here, Jacob, I am not desolate. God has not forsaken me. He's heard my cry, and he has seen my anguish, and he's proven that I am all right as far as he is concerned. Look, I have given you another son. Then came the third, that is Levi. Levi became the priest of that entire household. His name means joined. She was crying out silently for her husband's affection. It could be that she named him joined by simply meaning, Jacob, I borne you three sons. Now will you come to be truly my husband? Now will you love me? Now will you show me affection? Now will you come to be joined to me as a husband to his wife? And then the fourth was born. His name was Judah, which means praise. It seemed to me that Leah broke through to victory at the birth of her son Judah. Whether Jacob would ever come to love and accept her was no longer that important. Could I stop and preach right here for just a minute? Friends, it's possible for us to live entire lives frustrated, a feeling of unworthiness, a feeling that we are unappreciated, feeling that a spouse doesn't love us, children don't love us, people in the church don't love us. We get this chip on our shoulder. It is possible to go through an entire life. And maybe a person has reason to feel that way sometime. But I want you to look at little Leah. If there ever was a woman that had a reason to feel like she is pushed back and like she is denied and neglected and unappreciated, it was Leah. But she named her son Judah, which means praise, that I'm going to give God praise anyway, no matter what condition I find myself in. Friend, they did not name these babies lightly. There was a reason for it. And sometimes it was prophetic. I mean, it came from God. Wisdom, insight came from God at the naming of these Jewish babies in those days. But Leah now could give God praise, even out of a broken heart, because she now knew She was accepted by God, whether her husband ever accepted her or not. Say praise God. It's not God's will for us to be slaves to other people's misbehaving. It's not God's will for us to be slaves to other people's misbehaving and their evil deeds and their slander or their neglect or whatever. Oh, aren't you glad we have God? Somebody say amen. Hallelujah! I will praise Him anyway. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Anyhow, there's a song I like to sing. Now, a dutiful affair and a legal relationship with our Lord may get you to heaven, but it rarely produces praise and devotion and love for the Lord. There's some people that are probably saved and their sins are forgiven. They'll probably get to heaven. But they are so miserable while they're in this earth. They are miserable, or at least their face believes they're miserable. They are in bad, bad shape. Hallelujah. But God wants us to have a joyful outlook. It is not all duty. It is not all responsibility. It is not all burden. Will somebody get on board and listen to me here this morning? Now, we preach burden, we preach duty, we preach responsibility, and my clothes is about to fall off right now. And if they do, you'll say, the preacher, there you go, because you've been doing without food. Okay? So I'm going to have to cinch up something here, or not jump around too much this morning. All right? Here we go. See, I knew I'd slip that in. Don't you feel sorry for me? Don't you feel? All right, I've got your sympathy now. I'm going to go ahead and preach today. Now, what was it I was preaching about? Oh, friends, it's not all burdens. It's not all responsibilities. It's not all gritting your teeth and bearing it. Brother, I'm convinced that God has a relationship with us that is precious and real and full of love, and He expresses it and receives our expression, a two-way street. That's where I want to be. Now, folks, anyone here can fast one meal. Anybody here just about can fast one day. You go ahead and take your medication, you fast one day. And most of us can fast a week. I mean, you can do without, you can put up. And visitors come in, family comes in, kinfolks, in-laws, outlaws come in. Pile in on you for a week. You can bear it because you know there's coming a day when they're going to be gone. Do you understand? You can put up with some things. But when it becomes year after year after year, it gets to be sour. It gets to be, as my dad used to say, keggy. You know where that idea came from? Is a wooden water barrel that if you left water in it overnight or a few days, it would begin to taste keggy. Begin to taste bad. So our feelings began to be that way, serving God. You know, going through the motion, doing our duty, doing what we know we're supposed to do, teaching that class when our heart's not in it, standing up and preaching when we'd rather be fishing, doing whatever, coming to church when we'd like to visit somewhere, we'd like to go on vacation, we'd like to do this or do that. But duty demands that we fulfill obligation. If that's all there is to it, brother, it gets keggy after a while. It gets old. Somewhere along the line, you're going to have to taste the honey and the milk. Somewhere along the line, there has to come some joy into your heart. Hallelujah to God forever. Glory. So, this woman, Leah, even in the midst, pardon me here, I know what it is. That microphone on that side was just weighty enough, nearly pulled my pants off. I did have a belt on. Thank the Lord for that this morning. Here we go. We need a spiritual union with the Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody say amen. That was the desire of Leah. She had this love relationship with Jacob, and he had other things on his mind. Another woman, to be exact. Although Judah was imperfect, God saw the good that was in him. Now listen to the patriarch Jacob from his deathbed as he blesses his son Judah with a prophetic word. I told you, these old boys, they lived close to the Spirit back then. This old patriarch, he's there sitting in his bed. They got him setting up and propped up with bolsters and pillows. And now he's gathered his family around him. He knows he's going to be dying. And he starts at Reuben right on down the line, and he blesses him. He speaks a prophetic word, and oh, how accurate that is. You ought to study that sometime, what Jacob spoke to these sons. And he says to his son Judah, "Judah, thou art he whom thy brothers shall praise. Thy hand shall be in the neck of thine enemies. Thy father's children shall bow down before thee." Judah is a lion's whelp, Genesis 49. "The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be." Judah would come to be a respected leader among the people. Judah had the character of a lion. He was bold and aggressive. He led the people out to war, and God gave them many victories over their enemy. Do you realize that after Joshua died, that Judah was the one that took the lead and went in to whip the enemy in the land of Canaan? It was Judah. He led the way. And it was from Judah the Messiah came. Jesus Christ is of the tribe of Judah. Hallelujah. Let me tell you, old Leah was a good producer. Even though she might have sore eyes every morning, but she produced Judah, which is in the lineage of the Lord Jesus Christ. Glory to God for that. I need to mention this. Even though Leah spent her entire married life to old Jacob, wishing things were better, but it was by Leah that Jacob was buried. Are you? And by his own request, "Bury me by the side of Leah." Glory be to God. So I'm going to venture something this morning. Somewhere along the line, Jacob saw the worth in that woman. Somewhere along the line, that he began to pick up on her spirit. Oh, glory. Wives, live close to Jesus. Show the right kind of spirit to that rascal, and God would change his heart some of these days. Live right. Show the right spirit, and God will touch him one day. I read in Revelation 5:5, "And one of the elders said unto me," John said, "weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has prevailed. Whether he is the Lion or the Lawgiver, whether Shiloh or the Savior, the Messiah would come out of Judah." What does that word name Judah mean? It means praise. That's what this message is all about. I've just been a while getting to it this morning. Praise means praise. Our deliverance comes from praise. Our deliverance comes from the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Our defense is assured by praise. Our tranquility is in praise. That's what the word Shiloh means. Tranquility. Tranquility. It is a euphemism here for the Messiah. And he, when he comes, would be the Prince of Tranquility, the Prince of Peace. Hallelujah. See how it all ties together? Isn't the Word of God wonderful to study it as we are able to do it? Praise puts you over into victory. Praise believes that the Lion of the tribe of Judah will always prevail in your behalf. Hallelujah. Old Jehoshaphat, I talked about it a Sunday night or two ago. Jehoshaphat went into battle not with swords and weapons of war, but he went into battle with the singers that went out ahead of the army singing praises unto God for his holiness and the beauty of holiness. I'm telling you, praise is a weapon of war. Somebody say amen. It puts to flight the enemy. Do we need more praise around First Assembly? Do we need praisers who will rise up and praise the Lord anyhow, in spite of how we feel, in spite of summer attendance, in spite of where we are, to rise up and praise the Lord? Hallelujah! Because he's worthy no matter how we feel. And you know what I've discovered? If I can muster enough grit to praise him anyhow, pretty soon I begin to feel like it. Well, I just don't feel like praising the Lord. I just don't feel like praise. In that case, the devil's going to have you feeling bad all the time. Are you with me? But we got to anyway, don't we, Brother Eddie? So Eddie's been coming here early in the morning since that week of prayer. We met here early, and he's been coming here and praying 5:30. I'll just let you meet. Some of these mornings I might get up early and meet you down here, but I'll just let you come in. I get up about a half hour behind you and do my praying, but it's not every morning that you get jumped. Oh, goodness, I get to go to the church and pray this morning. I just can't wait. That's happened to me a few times, but most of the time it is, my flesh says, oh, you deserve another half hour in that bed. My flesh says, no, you can do just as well someplace else. But that spirit man says, get up and drag out and get out there anyhow. And when you meet God, how many knows you begin to feel better? You begin to feel better. That's what it's all about. Praise does not come out of how you feel. Praise comes as just we know that we ought to praise. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. The Bible says the dead praise not the Lord. The Bible says the dead praise not the Lord. Let's praise Him a moment. Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We love you, Lord. We praise you today. Lord, prepare for a funeral. We've got some dead folks here. Judah is set in the place of leadership. That's where God put him. The position of Judah in that wilderness camp configuration illustrates what I'm trying to say. Judah had the choice location in the camp on the east side. Numbers chapter 2, verse 2 and 3 tells us about it. On the side of the rising sun. Now there's something to say about this. He was on the side of the rising sun from the tabernacle. This is where his encampment was. He was the first to see the sun coming up every morning. He was and had before him always the entrance of the tabernacle that led into the holiest of holies. Friends, I'm telling you, there's something about praisers. Praisers, which are the children of Judah. Praisers, there's something about it. We are in a position to receive fresh, new revelation from God every morning. Hallelujah. When we praise the Lord and worship Him. The choice position of revelation. We get to see the darkness of the night is passing. See the indicators of a new day that is dawning. Malachi 4:2, but unto you that fear my name, let me substitute the word praise, unto you that praise my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. Now, Judah's camp was closest to the only gate of the tabernacle. And I read in Psalm 118:19, open to me the gates of righteousness. I will go into them, and I will praise the Lord, says the psalmist. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. Well, Judah, his position was that he would be the first to get into tabernacle worship. Glory every day. David said on one occasion, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. I get excited about coming to church. I've always been that way, and I do not understand Christians who aren't that way. I tolerate it, but I don't understand it. Do you understand where I'm coming from now? Because that's never been my thing. My thing was to come to church, go to church. We were on vacation or whatever. I nearly got up and went to church on the morning my mother died. I wanted to. There was such a pull in my heart. We were just, you know, in a turmoil. We'd come from the hospital. Family's in a turmoil. You've been through this. You know what I'm talking about. But yet, there was a desire in my heart stronger than my need to be with my family then, a need to be with the family of God and be in church. That is innate in my heart, in my spirit. And I just don't really understand anything else. But David enjoyed the opportunity to come into the house of God. Judah had the opportunity to to be the first there when the door opened, glory, and the gate opened to come into the house of God, because that was where he was. And he came in and praising, as was his character, to do so. Now, Moses the prophet spoke the blessing of Judah into the lives of God's people. And I'm going to close here in just a moment. Deuteronomy 33 and 7. This is the blessing of Judah. And he said, Hear, Lord, the voice of Judah, and bring him unto his people. Let his hands be sufficient for thee, and be thou a help to him from his enemies. God said that every blessing upon Judah could belong to God's people everywhere. We can march at the head of the column as Judah. We can know absolute and total victory over our enemy as Judah. We can have the courage of the lion because we are kin to the lion of the tribe of Judah. I'm in that tribe this morning. Are you? I'm in the tribe of Judah this morning. Glory. Hallelujah. Our banner is the lion. We can become people of praise. Now, Moses prayed that God would hear the voice of Judah. Friend, that voice of Judah is in part the voice of praise. Oh, I would to God that we could hear that voice of praise springing up here, just like a tidal wave of expression of love and devotion to the Lord. Moses prayed that Judah and his people would be united. Bring him unto his people. My prayer is that we get together with praise, not come together to grumble, not come together to mumble, not come together to murmur, not coming together to complain. You can do that at home. Come to church to praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You're here to praise him today. And that praise would unite us. Have you noticed in a good service with an atmosphere of praise how close you feel to people around you that are praising the Lord? Oh, you'd have to be an absolute grouch. And you come into a good service and just set high and dry. But oh, it unites us. Now, Moses prayed that Judah would have strength commensurate with his task. Let his hand be sufficient to him. Now, sufficient for him, that means God was going to help him. David said, God is my helper. Hallelujah. God is my helper. Friends, we can have the strength of Atlas, physical strength, but we still have to have the strength of the Lord to survive it in these days. Have to have that spiritual strength. So Judah had that, and God gave it to him. Praise and strength have a close connection in the Scripture. And I'm just beginning to see that. Praise and strength have a close connection in the Scripture. No wonder Nehemiah said, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Hallelujah. The joy of the Lord is my strength. All right. Now, I'm going to prove my point here. It has a connection in Scripture. Psalms 8 and 2. Out of the mouths of babes and sucklings, thou hast ordained strength. Now, it's interesting that Jesus quotes that passage when he comes into the city of Jerusalem that day of triumphal entry, when his disciples are waving those palm branches and they are praising him at the top of their lungs. Some of this religious crowd that got nervous came out and said, shh, are you hearing what they are saying? In other words, quieten that bunch down. Are you hearing what they are saying? And Jesus turned around, have you not read Psalms 8 and verse number 2, where it says, out of the mouths of babes and suckling, thou hast perfected or ordained praise. David used the word strength. Jesus, quoting it, used the word praise. So I'm telling you, whether it's praise or strength, glory, our praise brings us strength. Yes, it does. Do you know what I'm talking about? I believe that when you are depressed and discouraged and you're down about something, that it affects you physically. All I have to do is get hit real hard with something that troubles my mind. And you know when it begins to affect me? Right across my kneecap. I can hardly hold up my weight. I feel weak. My arms ache. I feel weak. All I want to do is find me a place to sit down someplace and lie down. Because it affects us physically. It pulls at us. No wonder the devil wants your home tore up. No wonder he wants you to get bad news about your job. No wonder he wants you to get an overdue bill. No wonder he wants you to have words with somebody in the church. No wonder he wants you disgruntled with something going on in the church. Because he knows the effect it will have on you. But friends, that joy of the Lord, that praise, friends, I have seen it happen. I have preached more times than I can remember, sicker than the people that I had just visited in the hospital. And before I finished, I felt strong and well and healed because that Spirit of the Lord came upon me and the joy of the Lord flooded my heart and I got in a good atmosphere. Folks, it is important not just to please the preacher. It is important we come. It was good to be in the house of the Lord. Glory! Let's be like Judah. Pitch our tent right in the door of the tabernacle where we can get in there and the doors are open and be glad we've come to the house of God. I'm going to close it here just any minute now. You don't want to miss it. I'll close with this. The offering of Judah is pleasant unto the Lord. What could that offering be? Praise. Glory. Malachi 3:4. And then shall the offering of Judah be pleasant unto the Lord as in the days of old and as in former days. It is a good thing to give praise unto the Lord. It is a good thing to give praise unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High. Praise the Lord, for it's good to sing praises to our God, for it is pleasant and praise is becoming. King James says comely. Praise is comely. Praise is becoming. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If I'm a praiser, it ought to make me better looking. If I'm a praiser, it's becoming. Well, praise the Lord. To get your face, your mouth turned up at the corners instead of down. Get your eyebrows arched instead of hanging down. Whatever. Get a smile on your face. You're a praiser. It's becoming on you. It's becoming. Hallelujah. It's comely. That is praise the Lord. Judah means praise. We are descendants of Judah spiritually through our Lord Jesus Christ. Then, well, let's see. That was short, so I'm going to conclude one more. Judah shall prepare the soil for planting. Now, where on earth do you get that? The Bible says, Hosea 10, verse 11, Judah shall plow, and Jacob break up the fallow ground. Sow for yourselves righteousness. Reap the fruit of unfailing love. Break up your unplowed ground. For it is time to seek the Lord until He come and rain showers of righteousness upon you. Hallelujah. Judah shall plow. What does that mean? What does that mean? Praise always precedes the sowing. It is not by accident that the praise service comes in a Pentecostal church before the preaching. It gets us ready. It breaks up the fallow ground of our heart. That means hard ground, untilled ground. Glory. Living in this world puts a crust around my heart. Living in this world puts a crust around my heart. I need something to help break that up. You know what I'm talking about? Praise accomplishes that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Stand to your feet. Let's praise Him. Father, I thank You today for the privilege of knowing about this man Judah. Lord, with all of his faults, You commended him. Commended him with a name like no other. He is the model of praise. Hallelujah. And we praise you today, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, because we are your in your inheritance line. We belong to you. We're in the family of praisers this morning. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory, 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 glory. Psalms 50 and 23, whosoever offereth praise glorifieth me, the Lord said. David prayed, seven times a day do I praise thee because of thy righteous judgment. Glory. Again, Psalm 34, I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continually be in my mouth. Hallelujah. Whew, continually be in my mouth. Don't have much time for griping and complaining, then do we? How many could use some more of this praise in your heart? It has to start in your heart, doesn't it? Boy, it sounds hollow when it comes out of your mouth, when it's not in your heart. Better there than none at all, but how much better when it springs from a heart of devotion and love. Praise the Almighty God. Glory. Father, bless this people today with your presence. Lord, we need a lot of things around First Assembly, but here's one thing we really need, and that is to learn to become praisers in spite of what we're seeing about us with our natural eye. Become praisers, because praisers see into the holiest of holies, and we thank God for that. Amen. Amen. Let you go home. See you tonight. Tonight we're going to talk about Judah, a model of intercession. God bless you for being here.